You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
May God bless you richly in the name of Jesus Christ. This is Reverend Dave Boston, and I welcome you to our presentation of Follow His Sandals. As this is a Christian radio station, perhaps it goes without saying whose sandals we are endeavoring to follow more closely, but that would be those of our loving Lord Jesus Christ. As I have often said, the last perfect guy blew out of here almost 2,000 years ago. This show is about our working together in the Bible to help each of us more closely follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's get started. Well, God bless you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Glad to have you with us today. We've been talking about, you know, the Christian walk and how to better follow Jesus. And I've been noting and thinking about this. You know, disciples at the time of Christ, you know, read about them in the Gospels. They followed Jesus, but what they basically did was literally just followed. That's what they did. He'd go one place, they'd go with it too. And they do a few things. There's a few times they're sent out to heal. There's a few times they're sent out to serve a little bit. You know, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it says he gave the bread to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. So there was some administrative work to be done. But that was most of what they did, what the disciples did at the time of Jesus, was basically following the Lord Jesus. And that kind of makes sense, too, because if you had a question, you had the Son of God right there to talk to. You had the man right there. But in our day and time, it's a little different now. It's a little different because we have more responsibility than they did back then. And God uses this Christianity in two images to describe our relationship with each other. One is a body, and the other is a family. And that's huge because we know what our body is, and we also know what a family is, right? So we're going to start in Ephesians chapter 1 today. We're going to be in Ephesians and Romans most of the time, but we'll veer around a little bit. So if you are following along in your Bible, I'll try to give you time to turn there. And I would recommend you do that if you can. Obviously, if you're driving, don't try this at home, right? But if you're home and you have time, grab a Bible if you have one handy. I think I've mentioned this before, but I use a New King James Version. It's pretty basic and pretty standard, and it's very close to the original King James. So if you have an original King James, you can follow along pretty easily. I think there are other English versions that are very good also, probably better than this even, but we're using this one here to keep it clear for everybody. Excuse me, Ephesians chapter 1. Again, just into question, who are these church epistles written to? Well, they're called the church epistles, and they're written to Christians. That's who they're written to. In Ephesians 1:1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And that's important, too. This wasn't Paul's idea. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get this great, cool new publication called Ephesians. No, he wrote it by the will of God, right? He's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now look at verse 5. This is interesting. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. We've talked about that before, right? God so loved that he made us his children, right? Remember that in 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, God, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. In other words, when God wanted to highlight just how much he loves you, he made you his child. And that's huge when you think about it. But now, if you have more than one child, what's the relationship of those children to each other? Well, they're brothers, right? And we'll get to that in the family a little later on. But first, I want to talk about the body. The body of believers, many times, the Christian body of believers is known as the body of Christ. And they get that from chapter 1 here in Ephesians, but later on in the chapter. Let's jump down to verse 22. It's talking about God here. It says, And he, God, put all things under his, Christ's feet, and gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Jesus Christ is the head of the body, and the body is called the body of Christ. And there are some great pictures that come with that, but the idea is that as we continue to stand for Jesus, one of the responsibilities we have is to help other Christians as well. Look at chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, since we're right in the neighborhood. It's right after chapter 1, in case you were looking. Chapter 2, verse 8. It says, For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And that's good, because if you had to earn it, guess what? None of us would make it, would we, right? The Bible says all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's true. But see, we're saved by grace through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And verse 9 says it again, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, we don't work to get saved. We work, and we'll get to it, but we don't work to get saved. We're saved by grace. And as others says, lest anyone should boast. And wouldn't that be the case of humans if we could do that? You know, if I'm talking to my pal Karen here, and I said, I prayed 74 times last week. And she says, gee, I only prayed 65 times. And I can just say, well, obviously she's not as spiritual as I am because I did 74 times. She only did 65. Well, that'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? See, we're saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. But now look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, our works don't get us saved, but now that we're saved, what do? We respond in thankfulness to God, and we do the good works that he wants us to do. And part of those good works involve being part of this family. Look at chapter 4, please, since we're right here. One more page over. Chapter 4. Ephesians 4, look at verse 22. This is a guidance, this is a command to Christians here. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, the old man is us before we knew Christ, right? That's the time before we knew Jesus very well, right? So we just lived our life. We served ourselves. We did what we wanted to do. And that's over now. Now we get a new thing we do, and that's verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now look at this, verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Why are we members? Because we're all part of the body of Christ. Your physical body has many members, right? And so does the body of Christ. We have many members. You know, I thought about this. I'm probably dating myself here again, but when I was a younger man, supermarkets didn't have the plastic bags. What they had, maybe some of you remember this. If so, you're dating yourself too. But they used to have paper bags with no handles on them. So when you came time to get home from the grocery store and you had all these bags of groceries, you know, you'd be carrying 9 of them at once trying to do it. You'd be working together. And the parts of your body would work together to get the food in the house. And, you know, you'd maybe move the door open a little bit. Then you get your knee in there. Then maybe a little bit of a hip action with your elbow. And you know, all the while juggling all these bags of food. And eventually you'd get inside. Hopefully you didn't drop too many of them. I might have a few times. But the idea is that all of our body parts work together. You think of these great athletes that play sports. You know, their whole body works together. You know, they're not just using their arms or their elbow or their pancreas. They're using the whole body many times, right? And that's what the body of Christ, that's a picture that God wants us to understand about the body of Christ. We're all part of one another. We're not just on an individual walking along on a deserted island someplace. No, we're part of the body of Christ. We're part of that one body. And as such, we need to treat the members of the body well because of that, because of who we are. It's not just about following Jesus myself. It's following Jesus and helping my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ follow Jesus better also. And I thought about that with churches. You know, you go to churches, and I've been to some churches. I was just recently at a wonderful church called Abundant Life here in Palm City. Our pastor, John McClain, did a marvelous job, as he always does, and had a fantastic time with it. But what I love about it is everyone knows each other. They know each other well. They take care of each other. They bless each other. My children went and they said it was a great energy. And that's true. That's what the body of Christ is supposed to be like. But I've also been to other churches where there's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people in the room. There's a pastor up front who's doing all the talking. Everyone just sits there and very few people know anyone else. You're just sitting there in this group. You know, you and the pastor, and he's talking and you're just sitting there listening. And when you leave, that's the end of it. Well, I think we can do more. I think part of the great part of Christianity is that we work together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe you invite some over to your house and just talk about God, talk about Jesus, pray together. You know, the more we do to help the body of Christ, the better it is. Now, look at verse 28. Ephesians 4:28. It says, let no corrupt word, no, here it is, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. See the perspective starting to change here? Don't just work so you can get rich. That's nice, but don't just work to get rich. Work so you have something to give to somebody else who needs it. And this is the reference to the body of Christ here. And then 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impact what? Grace to the hearers. In other words, when we speak, when the words come out of our mouth, when there's Christians around, it should be good things to edify, not tearing people down, not insulting, not being critical, but building up. That's what we want to start doing. And we, you know, it's that way with your physical body, right? If your arm hurts, what does the rest of your body do? It covers for it, right? Same into it, the body of Christ. If one of us is hurting, we work together to take care of it. Verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Look at 32. And that's, I know 31 is a tough one, isn't it? All bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, put it away, right? Because we're part of a body now. We're part of a team here, right? A part of a family. Put that all away in verse 32. And instead of that, be kind to one another. One of the great phrases in the church epistles you'll see is the phrase one another. You see, Christians aren't supposed to just sit on the bench and let the pastors do all the talking. Then we go home, come back next week. No, that wasn't Christianity. Christianity is we're all involved with each other. We take care of each other. We build up each other up. We forgive each other. And look at verse 32 again. It says, be kind to one another. Not just the pastors to be kind. They're kind anyway, usually, right? But it's all of us have to be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Yeah, sometimes you have trouble forgiving somebody. Just take a step back and realize that God, through Christ, forgave you, right? He forgave you. And if you've done a few things wrong, well, if you're anything like me, you sure did, right? But God forgave us, and with that, we can forgive others. We can say, hell, you know what? God forgave me for something a lot worse than you're doing, so don't worry about it. We'll get past this. Look at chapter 5, verse 1, and look at the verse word, therefore. And what do we ask ourselves? What's the therefore, therefore? In light of all this, in light of walking with this kind of love to each other, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. Well, let me ask you this. Do children imitate fathers? Yeah, you dads know that's true, isn't it, right? Sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes not so much, but children tend to imitate their parents. That's a good thing, right? Generally. Well, what we're to do is imitate God as dear children, and what do? Verse 2, build our own universe. No, thankfully. No, what do? We imitate God by walking in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Yeah, see, the rules have changed now. It's bigger than just following Jesus and listening to him teach and trying to apply it. It's bigger than that. It includes that, certainly. But in addition to listening to Jesus and his words, we want to start helping each other. We want to start looking at other members of the body of Christ to take care of them. Look at Romans, please, chapter 12. Show it to you. Romans 12. There's a reference to this. Romans chapter 12. Let's see what we're going to pick it up. Let's pick it up in from verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Yeah, we're to be holy and acceptable to God because of his mercies. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Now we're going to explain this. Look at the first word of verse 4. It's the word for. And when the word for shows up like this, it ties together the context of what's coming. So we don't think too highly of ourselves, but in verse 4 we realize, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. There it is, the body of Christ, right? We're many members, and individually members of one another. Yeah, we're in this together, aren't we? Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to what is good. Look at this. Here's that body again. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Yeah, you see that? In honor giving preference to one another. It's not all about me and all everything in my life and Dave. It's all about Dave. No, right? My job is to help you be better, is to help you be better and stronger for Jesus. In fact, one way to translate that where it says, in honor giving preference to one another, another great translation I saw of that phrase is taking the lead in showing honor one to another. Yeah, exactly. In other words, I'm not supposed to go around telling everybody how great I am. Well, let me just tell you how wonderfully spiritual I am. That's not my job, right? My job is to help you grow, help you be better, help you grow and be the best for Jesus that you can be. But this ties us together, and we're going to see here that brotherly, that family love here is right here in verse 10 too. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Yeah, if we've all been born again, we're all children of God. Therefore, we're brothers and sisters of each other. That's who we are. Look back at chapter 8, please. Chapter 8 of Ephesians. I'm sorry, of Romans. There is no chapter 8 in Ephesians, so that would take you a while to find, I'm guessing. Romans 8, please. And again, there's lots of verses on this. We can't go to all of them, unfortunately. But I just wanted to show you a couple of them here in Romans 8. Look at verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many," what? "Brethren." Well, what's that talking about? It's a family, isn't it? See, you see the body here, because Christ is the head of the body. We saw that before. But another image God uses is that of a family. We're a family here with brothers and sisters. And just like an earthly family is supposed to work, we take care of each other in the body of Christ. We're supposed to love each other and bless each other. With that in mind, look at chapter 14. Romans 14. Romans 14. And look at verse 1. Sometime, maybe next week, we'll do more on this Romans 14. It's a great chapter. But as you probably know if you've been around Christianity for more than a week or two, is there's a lot of infighting and bickering amongst Christians. Well, I think Jesus Christ is right-handed. Well, I think Moses was a Republican. I think, you know, whatever. And we have these big fights over it, right? And that's not the way God wanted it to be. But God addresses here in the Bible what we do when we have a brother and sister in Christ who disagrees with us. We get a different doctrine. But look at, we're going to go more in this next week, but look at Romans 14, verse 1. It says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things." Yeah, my job is not to doubt you and judge you. Maybe you don't. Maybe I know a little more scripture than you do. Okay. That doesn't mean I have the right to hold it over you and be critical of you. Or maybe you know more than I do. Well, same thing. You're not supposed to do that. And this whole section is going to talk more about that. But the idea is that what's more important is that we work together. That's the key here. And look at chapter 15, Romans 15. Kind of sums it up right here. Romans 15, 1. It says, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please" whom? "Ourselves." Remember, love, true love is not thinking about yourself. It's focusing on the other person, right? Well, that's what we're taught to do here. If we're strong in the faith, are we supposed to criticize the younger in the faith? Supposed to make fun of them and criticize them and tear them down? No. We're to build them up. We're to help them. I've been in situations where, you know, I meet a new Christian and the first question about is, okay, what denomination are you? And I'll say, well, I'm kind of into the Bible and I don't really have a denomination per se, but I support different churches. And instantly they're trying to find something about which they know more than I do so they can argue. One young man up in Massachusetts did that and he kept saying, well, I want to challenge you on this and challenge you on that. And I kept saying, you know, if you read the Bible and you have verses you want to talk to me about, I'm more than happy to. But our job is not to fight over scriptures. If I can help you, great. If you can help me, great. That's the way it's supposed to be. Like Romans 14 said, not to doubtful judgments. My job is not to judge you. Oh, you're a Presbyterian, therefore you believe that Jesus Christ wore hats every day. No, right? All these ridiculous beliefs that people come up with, and that's not how we're supposed to deal with each other. We're supposed to love each other, help each other, take care of each other. But this section in Romans 8 talks about the body. Remember the one body we just talked about? That's a big key. And it also starts to lead into the idea of a family. Look at Romans, 15:1. Yeah, 15:1 again. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves." Look at verse 2. This sums it right up. "Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Yeah, we build them up. We don't criticize and tear them down. Anybody can tear people down. The real challenge for a believer is to build people up, edify them. Verse 3, look at this. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who approached you fell on me. Did Jesus Christ sacrifice for other people? Yeah. How about his life, right? He gave his life for us, didn't he, right? But that's the way he lived his life, too. He served, he loved, he gave, he blessed. That's what he did. Well, if we're going to follow Jesus, we're going to follow his sandals. That's what we want to do as well. We want to follow his sandals and walk like Jesus did. And what that means is if we're a little stronger in the Bible and the Word, following Jesus, we want to help those who aren't quite there yet. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's our calling, because we're family. Those people who don't believe the same thing you do, they may still very well be your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ. And therefore, we're to love them. In an earthly family, it works that way. You know, my children have different ages, obviously, and the elder have always kind of taken care of the younger ones. My daughters are older than my sons. And when my sons were little, my daughters would take care of them. Why? Because they're older and they're stronger in life, right? But I would expect that from them. I want them to take care of their spouses. I mean, their siblings. Now look at verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another. There it is again. According to Christ Jesus. Why? That you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, here's that word again. Therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Well, because God and Jesus want us to do this, to glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be like-minded. Therefore, verse 7, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. How did Jesus receive you? Well, he gave his life for you, didn't he? He gave it up so you could have life, right? So what are we supposed to do with each other? We receive people also. We bring them to our heart. That's a great Greek word. We'll talk about it next week, but it's a great Greek word, proslambano, and it's more than just receive. It's not like you'd receive a change from the supermarket. No, this word receive means you reach out and bring someone to your heart. That's what it's talking about, and that's what we do for each other. And we're going to we'll talk more about that next week, but it's the idea of a family. It's what families do. Families take care of each other, right? Families are there for each other. It's what we do. Look at Philippians, please, chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Another great section here, but you see it all through the church epistles. You see all these references to one another, to how we take care of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We see all kinds of references to it. Philippians chapter 1 is a great one. Look at verse 27. It says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs. Look at this. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. You see, I don't just strive myself for the faith of the gospel. I strive with Karen, with Dave here at the station. I stay with Pastor McLean. I work with them. See, we work together. We stand fast together with one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. And God and Jesus need us to be that way for each other. They need us to love each other, take care of each other, bless each other, build each other. That's what families do. And we're the family of God, and that's what's supposed to happen with it. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Still in Philippians here. So many great verses here. We're not going to have them all, that's for sure. But Philippians chapter 2, it says, therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, because of this working together, therefore, if there is any comfort, consolation in Christ, should be comfort. If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, toward each other, to be of one mind together, to work together with their other believers. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Yeah, we talked about that back in Romans, right? We take the lead in showing honor to one another. Here it is again. We esteem others better than ourselves. Yeah, but he's this way. Yeah, but he's this political party. Doesn't matter. We're still to esteem them higher because they're Jesus Christ's brother. You know, when I work with another Christian, Jesus Christ died for them. Jesus Christ died for the people of churches that don't believe the same thing you do. Jesus Christ died for them too. Well, I'm a Baptist, so I don't believe in that. Well, okay, but Jesus Christ died for every Christian. You understand? Every Christian, whatever faith you are. And God's will was not to have 5,000 different denominations where we all argue about everything. His goal was to agree on the main things, and then as we continue to learn, we teach each other, help each other grow, that we can have great unity of the Spirit. That's the plan. And it takes each of us having that commitment to say, you know what, I want to serve God, so what do I do? Well, I don't just, you know, on my own little wilderness walk, I take care of the other Christians around me. And we have some great churches here in Palm City. If you need any recommendations, you can certainly call our radio station to find out where to go here in Palm City. There's some great ones. but I kind of wanted to show another plug for Abundant Life. When I go to a church, one thing I'm looking for is, are they loving? And Abundant Life Church here in Palm City on West 34th, they're very loving, wonderful, wonderful people, wonderful Christians. And they take this very seriously. They take this body of Christ thing very seriously. Okay, still in, look at verse 3 again says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. When things are done through selfish ambition or conceit, where's our focus? Well, selfish, I'll give you a hint, selfish. Yeah, I'm thinking about who? Me, right? Is that the right focus? Not really. This says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But, in opposed to that, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Yeah, others better than ourselves. And look at verse 4. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Yeah. See, as we live life, you're going to have to do things. You have a job. You got to do work in different things, of course, right? But part of our life, part of our Christian service is to take care of other Christians, to be there to bless them when they need it. I support a bunch of churches in the area, and I, you know, some of them have beliefs. I don't have the same beliefs, but you know what? They're Christians, aren't they? And they love God. They love Jesus. And you know what? They're my brothers and sisters in Christ. So maybe I don't believe everything they believe. Who cares? The main thing is we love Jesus Christ. He's our Lord, right? And that's the important thing. We take care of each other like that. That's where we want to live our lives. Now, I want to show an example of some believers here that had this down. Look at 1 Corinthians, please. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm sorry, not that. I read that wrong. Colossians 3, excuse me. That's the problem with my notes. I can't read my own notes. That can't be good. If I can't read my own notes, that's bad enough. Colossians, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 3 is where we want to go. And again, the whole book of Colossians is great, but we're just going to look at chapter 3 here a little bit. Chapter 3 of Colossians, look at verse 12, please. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. That's who you are. You're holy and beloved, the elect of God. You're part of God's family. We're part of the body of Christ. We're God's family. We're in this together. Look what it says. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. Verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Yeah, I mean, we spend so much time in life many times bickering and arguing over silly things and people getting hurt and their feelings getting hurt. Well, I'm not going to call him again. I'm not going to go over to his house anymore. You know, families just do this happen all the time. That's not how families are supposed to work. We're supposed to like, you know what? Okay, you believe one thing. You know what? Okay, believe it. I don't believe that, but you know what? Love you anyway. And that's where we want to live life. And that is especially true in the Christian household. We've got to take care of each other. God called us to love, love, love. And that requires us to think about the other person, not our own selfish ambitions like we read a little bit ago. So verse 13 again, bearing with one another. There it is, forgiving one another. We're all going to be called on at times to forgive each other and to ask for forgiveness, honestly. You know, again, the last perfect guy blew out of here 2,000 years ago, right? We're all going to make mistakes. We're going to hurt our people. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to sin. And what we need is our fellow brothers and sisters to be able to be there for us, to take care of us and help us be what we need to be for him. See, that's what we want to be. Colossians again, verse 13, one more time, hopefully one more time. Maybe I'll keep reading it though. I make no guarantees. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Yeah, there it is again. Did Christ forgive you? Yes. Did he forgive me? Yes. So at the end of the day, I've got no right to hold grudges against you or any other reason because Christ forgave you and Christ forgave me. So you know what? Because he did that, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow his sandals. There's the radio show plug again. Because I want to follow his sandals, I'm going to walk in love like he did. I'm going to forgive you like he did. That's where I want to live. Now, verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Amen to that, right? Bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. There it is again. And be thankful. And let the word of and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing whom? One another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You see, we're in this together. We're to live together. We're to work together. We're to love each other. That's where we want to go. Because you think about it, we're a family, right? Do families have problems? Yes, unfortunately, we do, right? Families have problems sometimes. So what do we do about that? Well, we work together, right? We solve the problem. We love on each other. We forgive each other. that's how life is supposed to be lived. I mean, it's the perfect example in an earthly family, and it's also exactly what should happen in a spiritual family. We're Christians together in the body of Christ. We're a family. We want to love each other like the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to. So may God bless you big. Have a great week, and we'll look forward to talking more next week. God bless you all.
This is Reverend Dave Boston. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in next Friday at 4 p.m. as we continue to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at homebible220@yahoo.com. Have a blessed week.